fielded now. Runners go and a swing and a shot. And it's in the left field. Goes under the glove of Nunez. This will bring in two runs. 2-0 Houston.
Brady's in trouble. He's hitting. The ball's out. And it's going to be recovered by Bailey in Kansas City.
What are we doing?
The Patriots commit their first turnover.
It's the worst play by Brady in a long time.
Two on with one away. He's on the first pitch. Down the right field line. Down by the pesky pole. And it is gone. Three-run home run knockout punch for the Astros.
Snap to Mahomes. Play fake and a deep drop. Pressure by Claiborne. Moves up. Fires deep downfield. And Hill is wide open. Leaps to make the catch at the 35. Runs left past Harmon. Down the left sideline. 10-5. Gone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that happens. You know, you get out there. Sometimes you're battling yourself, and that was definitely the case.
This game was over as soon as the last out was made, so we're, got to flush this one, get ready for tomorrow. That's the only thing.
It's just one game. It's got to come out tomorrow and continue to play, compete.
Brady under center, gives it to Michelle, runs it to the left side, found his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
That's the way you capitalize off a defensive turnover. Got to run a game down in there. I like that.
And then a swing and a liner in the right field. A base hit. In the score is Betts. It's an RBI. And the Red Sox have the lead. 1-0 in the first inning.
Brady takes the head high snap against a three-man rush. He lobs a throw left for Edelman, who's open. And backpedals to make the catch in the left side of the end zone for a Patriots touchdown.
That's the way you put it in that spot right there, Mahomes.
Two Devers into left field, a base hit. Benintendi scores the run. 2-0.
Mahomes drops back. Fires down the middle. Picked off by Hightower. Hagman right to the 25-20. Hightower to the 15-10.
You know, we had control, and then we let him back in the game with some, you know, the fumble was a bad play. But, you know, they were making plays on offense. We were making plays. We talked about competing for 60 minutes, and yeah, that's what it took.
3:50 to go. The four-minute offense from the offset eye. Brady fakes to Michelle. Throws down the middle. Gronk is wide open at the 30. Has one after the 40. Gronk to the 45. Oh, stiff arm. Max Parker to the ground. Rumbling to the 45-40. Shoved out of bounds at the Kansas City 37 by Reggie Ragland.
Play call by McDaniels. My God.
In the air, left field. That is slicing. Down in the corner, and it is off the wall. Two runs are in. And Devers is going to score. It's a three-run double. Jackie Bradley Jr. Boston on top.
Brady takes the snap. Backs up. Fires. No, he pumps. And he's hit. He moves up. He's going to run. He dives into the end zone. A touchdown for the Patriots. Gostkowski on the 18-yard line. The 28-yard attempt for the win. Tied at 40. Turns toward Gostkowski. Now to Cardona. The snap and play. Swing the right leg. Kick left into the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And the Patriots prevail. 43-40.
What a night.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
You like it, right?
Call him Mr. Lemonade. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown in studio.
I was just telling Troy off the air that I don't know if you saw the video that someone sent us, but the parking lot at Gillette Stadium was a little bit of Bills Mafia-esque yesterday. There was a guy jumping off of his roof onto a table. And to me, I say, you know what? Gillette's kind of needed that. It is like the most stale parking lot environment.
We don't need that.
That's what got Monday Night Football kicked out of here for about a decade.
Like it's gonna, anything's going to turn away coming to Gillette to watch the Patriots play on Monday Night Football. I mean, dude, listen, it is the tamest parking lot.
Well, we don't want them jumping off tables and setting themselves on fire. You know,
speak for yourself.
You think we'd be entertaining for you guys? I know pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes there's laps in games.
This is an educated community, man. I mean,
that's right.
We got like 300 schools and colleges in this area.
That's right. Yeah.
And then everyone else is scum just like us. Set themselves on fire.
I say set yourself on fire, run free.
Yeah.
Were they doing that at Toby Keith's last night when you were?
No.
Nothing like that.
Not. Well, we get a few. We get a few in there that come in and. Especially post game, and I've had a few in there. Yeah, it can get a little. Yeah, some guy saying the same thing for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. What was he saying?
Thanks for my childhood.
Just kept yelling, "Thanks for my childhood."
Thanks for my childhood.
Oh, that's an emotional drunk.
He would go from me to Nick, me to Nick. Hey, thanks for my childhood. Hey, Troy. Hey, Nick. Thanks for my childhood.
How old was the man? 12?
Not your father. Like I was on Jerry Springer or something. Yeah.
Well, they should do that. There should be a DNA test during every broadcast. Okay. Is this Patriots defense fixable? Is there? Because, I mean, you know, I don't know if they're going to bring anyone in, but it's bad. And
Mahomes is awesome. That offense is awesome.
Yes. But he also
very
missed,
tough offense.
Yeah,
he also missed opportunities though.
Yes, he did
in the first half, which probably would have won the game for him if he hit on some of those. And I'm not being overly negative. I mean, I'm stating a fact. I mean, if he gets Kareem Hunt in the end zone, and there's a bunch of other plays,
yeah,
he should have had in the first quarter. Do you see any way this defense can improve?
Well, it can improve because they're not going to play a lot of offenses like Kansas City. Yeah. So that'll help them out a lot. You know, it's just that they just have trouble, too, with those backs, good backs like that that can catch the ball and tight ends that can play. I mean, that's just been kind of the Achilles heel going back to last year with Jacksonville, mm-hmm, in the AFC Championship game. So, and they still haven't figured out how to solve that problem. But, you know, and this game was played exactly the way I thought it was going to be played. It's going to be a shootout, and whatever team makes the least amount of mistakes, and whatever team has the ball last. And, you know, you saw Kansas City left some points on the field in the first quarter, in the first half, and yep, then throwing that big pick, you know, going into halftime and not scoring points in that particular situation. I think that hurt them, but they got themselves back in the game. And then the Patriots basically forced them to make the only punt of the game, you know, after Tom made that scramble.
Yep. Yeah.
And scored a touchdown. I think it was 37-33, and they got a three and out. You know, and that was, you just think back to the Philly game, how that went. You know, they got that one stop on Tom where they got the interception off of him.
Yep.
I mean the strip sack on him, mm-hmm, and that was basically the difference in the game. And they got the ball back, and they almost had a chance to throw a Hail Mary to tie the game up with a 2-point conversion. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, so it just came down to who had the ball last. And so, I mean, in this game, I could give the defense a pass in this situation. But, you know, there's a couple times in there where the GTFB didn't they weren't applying that.
Oh, man, the McCourty.
They weren't applying that very well.
Those twins not having a good day.
They were not having a good day yesterday. But, God, the speed, man. Yeah. Holy smokes.
You mentioned Hunt and Tyreek. Oh, my God.
But you mentioned that. How does Devin McCourty wind up covering Tyreek Hill? Not once, but twice. I mean, he's lining up opposite him in the slot. How does that happen?
Who else are you going to put on him?
I got to believe a quarterback who was moved to safety because he can't cover guys. Yeah,
I think it's pretty obvious. Devin can still run because he ran down the kickoff return. He actually whiffed him on the way out and then came back inbound and ran him down. So he can still run.
He's got some
straight line speed.
But you can't cover Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you might expect some help with Tyreek Hill. I think anybody that was covering him might expect some help. I look for some help. A call for some or something. Some backup or something. Man,
yeah.
My goodness. That kid, holy smokes. I mean, Daron Harmon, that last one he had, he was GTFB'd. It didn't even matter. He outran all of that stuff, man. It was ridiculous. They probably could have used somebody else back there that was GTFB'd.
Do you like this NFL better than the way you used to play it? In the way that, like, there's just a zillion points being scored.
I think this is what the NFL, this is what, I guess they study show it up. They like, you know, scoring, high scoring games. Want teams to score more score more points. But, you know, I'm also a fan of the old school too. I like to see a defensive game every once in a while, you know. So I don't mind watching, you know, Minnesota and Chicago beat up on each other, or Pittsburgh and Baltimore game. I don't mind watching those games either if it's a defensive struggle. But, you know, this is what they wanted. I mean, it's a game where it just goes in back and forth. You know, I don't want to, I mean, but it's, it, for me, it can get, that part of it can be kind of stale, where the defense can never get a stop.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Or they make it impossible to get a stop, or a game is won on a pass interference call or something.
When,
you know,
one side of the ball is in control of everything on both sides, it's not a lot of fun all the
time.
Although
last night there were enough like plays here and there that it didn't feel absurd. You know, I thought that
Patriots got enough stops in the red zone and forced them to kick field goals, and you know, and vice versa, the second half it was, you know, a little bit different for them, and the Kansas City was forcing the Patriots into field goal situations and stuff. So, but you know, and just the big play, I think, just the having the aspect of like a guy like Tyreek Hill on the field, you know, that adds a lot of value to what you're trying to sell to the people. So I mean, they sold it to me last night too. I mean, he was tremendous, and then Gronk with his two last catches of the game being the most important for the Patriots.
After disappearing. You know? Well, that was kind of like
he had one catch on two targets?
Yep, and he got three total receptions, and I think he got like 96 yards, and that last one obviously accounted for a lot of it. But a lot of the receivers were like that last night. Minimal amount of catches for big yardage.
Yeah, but that's kind of the, you know, Patriots, and they spread the ball around like that. It's kind of hard for guys to be a 10-catch guy, 100-yard a game. You know, it depends on where the coverage is going and who's getting open, and you know, Tom will find you if you're doing your job. And lots of time, that's going to be a lot of different people in that lineup. And against Kansas City's defense, I mean, just throw it to a spot. Somebody will be open. You know, they're pretty bad.
All right.
Pretty
bad defensively. You do the post-game show with Rob Ninkovich. And when we come back, Rob Ninkovich said some pretty funny things about Kelsey before the weekend started, not holding back on what he thinks of him.
Yeah.
I want to play that for you and for the people who haven't heard it, and I want to get your comment on – I didn't get to hear you guys talk about it. Did you guys bring it up yesterday?
Yeah, it came up yesterday.
Okay, right. I want to hear your opinion of it, because Ninkovich, not thinking he – I think the word soft comes to mind when he talks about Kelsey.
Well, I'll tell you this. Troy Brown, if he was playing in this day and age, would be one of the all-time leaders in receptions and yards. It's unfortunate that now we play in a league where you're not allowed to touch position players. But we will be right back.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
I mean, I'm sitting in Kelsey and I've thrown him around like he's a little doll. So the guy doesn't want to block. So when you're a tight end and you don't want to block, you're not really a tight end. So I would take Gronk, and I'm not just being biased because I played with him and I know him. I'm just being an honest, giving you my honest opinion. If I didn't know Rob, I would take Rob based on the fact that he can block. And you see him running wham blocks, and you see him, you know, running all the different types of route combination. So I would say that Rob is a complete tight end, and Kelsey is just a receiving, bigger receiver. That guy doesn't want to block. So I would say that in general, Gronkowski is the best tight end to ever play the game because of the fact that he can block and he can catch anything with his radius. So, I mean, I played against Kelsey and he can't block. I mean, he's tried. It doesn't happen. I mean, I haven't played in a year and a half. I could probably beat him right now easily. In a run blocking. I can't cover him because he's a receiver, but, I mean, if he wants to block somebody, he can't do it. I've seen him try. It just doesn't happen. He just wants to catch the ball and, you know, do his little dance and, you know, put the steps in the side of his head with his, you know, the haircut he gets. So I just think that he's a glorified receiver.
Oh, yeah, Rob Ninkovich doesn't like Travis Kelce, and he doesn't like his haircut and a bunch of other stuff.
The best thing about that, Fred, is it took, like, no time at all for the internet to find a video of Ninkovich just taking Kelce and just treating him like a rag doll. And I guess it's happened several, like, I think there were two different ones that I saw, at least. But that was the big talk this whole weekend, you know, leading up to the game. Who would you rather have, Gronk or Kelce? And it still blows my mind that they're the same age. Which is weird, because I know Kelsey's played like a couple years less, but they're the same age because of, you know, I guess, suspended for a year?
Stayed five years in school.
Redshirted. Yeah. So you talked to Ninkovich about what's your opinion of Kelsey, and what did you guys say when you discussed this today?
I thought he was kind of pouring on, you know? I mean, he is. I mean, I took offense to, I mean, because I was a receiver, but I blocked. I block pretty well. So, but you know, no, I get what he's saying. I mean, Kelsey's a fantastic player. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he was drafted as a tight end, and Andy Reid plays him as a slot receiver. That's basically what he is. He's detached from the line of, scrimmage a lot. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to be involved, you know, in the run game if you're, you know, as a tight end, if you're detached. That, you know, I mean, I think your team just got to have, they got to show that they're willing to run behind you to be classified as a tight end, and you can clear the way for the back and make some things happen.
Yeah.
You know, like the Patriots do with Gronk. They're not afraid to run behind him. And they don't really do that with Kansas City, you know, and he's just more split out and he's looking to, you know, make plays in the passing game. That's his thing. So, but they use him the way they want to use him. They're getting what they want to get out of him, you know. But yeah, if you're going to be a complete tight end, then you got to be able to do both of those things really well.
Let's real quick, because along that, those lines, Burt Breer wrote something this morning, who also was with you last night, and I don't know if he mentioned this, uh-huh. His MMQB, and he was talking about that he believes Rob Gronkowski, there's something off right now with him. And yeah. I know that, you know, yesterday, as we said, he was invisible for a while, but he ended up getting almost 100 yards off three catches. There was that big, you know, obviously one near the end. It was one of the more important plays of the game. When you watch him play, do you sense that there might be something going on with him right now?
I don't get that sense. I just think, well, with the targets being down, I got to see all the coverages they were playing against Gronk. You know, when you watch the All-22, you get to see a little bit more stuff, what's going on behind, you know, the guys who are over top of him and stuff. So, you know, but they're having people in his face hitting him and all those things. And I know Burt was talking about, he had talked to some of the people from Kansas City, and they were pretty much piggybacking on what Lombardi had to say, that, you know, Gronk can't run anymore. So, which, you know, you can ask that last guy there that was trying to cover him if he could still run or not. But, you know, that was kind of the thing that he was saying, that was the feedback that was coming from the Chiefs, is that they watched tape, they watched things on him, and it just seems like he doesn't have that burst. But I mean, I had to have his, you know, Gronk hasn't been known as a guy to have a burst anyway. He's kind of a guy that builds his speed up.
Yeah.
But you know, those guys, I guess they watch a little more tape than we do. But that was the thing, that Kansas City came into the game, that they weren't going to be overly worried about Gronk, that they were just going to, you know, because he couldn't run the way he used to run. So I haven't noticed anything that off and that noticeable in his game. I think the guy still catches the ball very well, obviously, and can come up with some big plays for his team when they need him. So that's what matters the most.
It was, I guess, part of the plan was also to ignore Chris Hogan, because there were a couple plays where he was wide open, yeah. And Tom Brady just didn't throw to him.
And what's that done to his game?
Yeah, well, I mean, look,
he looks good now.
And at the end of the game, you're right. At the end, it was almost as if you put them in a false sense of security that, oh, he's not going to throw it to Hogan.
Or Josh McDaniels tapped him on the shoulder and go, look, see 15 here. There's a picture of him waving his arms. Maybe you should
get
that
guy. Wide open.
Doubt. Yeah. You know, and when you fall back to that third or fourth spot, you know, in the pecking order, that's kind of how things are going to go. You're going to have games where you get targeted 6 times, 7 times, and you go have a lot of games where it's like 1 or 2 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
That just happens, you know, and it shows that he's better suited for the role that he's in right now. He's getting open now, you know, wonder why, but, you know, he's open by a huge margin at that. So, I mean, and teams just kind of forget about him because they have Edelman on the field now, they have Gronk on the field, they have James White on the field,
mm-hmm.
You know, three targets that they have to worry about. Much more so than I think Chris Hogan, and so it allows him to go against those third and fourth guys.
Yeah,
you know that the, you know, other teams depend on the cover of the guys. So, and it's working out good for Chris Hogan right now.
Right, yeah. Sony Michel had over 100 yards yesterday, and people are talking about he's got a much more active role in the offense now. When you and I know, hey, Sony Michel, I'm Troy Brown. I love him, but Sony Michel. is he doing anything? Does he look to you like a spectacular running back? Does he look to you like someone who it's beyond just hitting holes, that he has elusiveness to him, that he's a tough runner? What do you see out of him?
Well, definitely he's a tough runner. I think you're seeing him finish some runs by just not going backwards. He's knocking people the other way and finishing runs, falling forward. So that's a positive sign. For a guy that has a hurt knee, he does run with some power. you know, because I don't have, he's going to have to be that guy because I don't have a back, you know, like a short lot of, they don't have LeGarrette Blount here right. anymore. So as a specialty back like that, but so that's going to be his role. And he's running the ball tough inside. He, you know, he's breaking some tackles and making some extra yards. Mm-hmm. So that's those are all positive signs. He's shown some elusiveness out there, you know, when he's in there. You know, I think people are still like waiting to see that Georgia guy, just come out, you know. But he's I think he's getting there. The guy just he had one practice in all the training camp. So he's still catching up. The passing game, I don't think he's still there yet in the passing game. You saw, I think, the one pass Tom threw to him still looked awkward, you know, trying to get him the ball, like him trying to catch it, whatever it was. So he's got some catching up to do there because that was a strong part of his game, too, at Georgia. So, you know, I just think it's just way too early to judge him one way or another. You know, whatever you think about him, it's just too – say he's a bust.
I don't think he's a bust.
To say he's the greatest thing, you know, since Curtis Martin or whatever it may be, you know. To judge him either way, I think it's way too early in his career. You know, most of these guys, you got to give them – especially, you know, you got to get through that sophomore jinx and all that stuff and – then you can start saying, well, this is what's going on with this guy.
Okay, I'm sorry, Rich. Yeah. This week, Belichick had the team run hills, and which seems very old school.
Very.
Very old school. Now, did they do that when you were playing, and what was the reaction when you realized that you were going to do it?
Well, you didn't have much of a reaction because it was like you're either going to do it or go in and change your clothes and go home and don't come back.
Right.
But, you know, guys used to be a lot of moaning and groaning. You know, about a lot of that stuff. And, you know, you had a lot of, you know, some guys mentally, that's the way they get through it, is to bitch back at the head coach or, you know, whoever's closer to you that you felt comfortable bitching at or your position coach or something. But why are we doing that? You know,
how long is, like, how many hill runs would you guys do? Like how long did that process go?
Well, it depends on how Bill felt. He ran till he felt like he was satisfied that you were in pretty good shape. So, and just because I know they ran just because it was more of about what Kansas City was going to bring to the game, the pace they were going to bring to the game.
Yeah.
So, and I'm pretty sure that's probably why they were running hills. But yeah, when you got into it, man, you just kind of had to forget about when the whistle was going to blow and just run. And the thing was, you had to run with some conviction because he would watch. And know that if you were loafing, our guys were loafing, and then he definitely wouldn't stop it.
Did you hate him at that moment?
There were some days out there, man, where you like, man, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, a professional athlete.
I'm a professional athlete. You know, I've been through training camp. I've been just the middle of the season.
Now you said that in your head, or you said that to him?
You said it to yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
How'd the linemen take it? Because I got to think that must have not.
Linemen always hated that stuff. They're like, why am I running hills? You know?
Yeah, I only have to run 5 yards.
Just shoot within a 3 or 4 yard area blocking people, you know? Send me to the weight room or something. But they hated that stuff, man.
Yeah, that was Jim McMahon's whole thing. So, he's like, why do I have to run?
Bill made us run, man. He made us run. There was Super Bowl 38, and we had the 2 weeks to get ready for it. And we had just played the Colts, and the ground was so saturated and wet, man. Like your cleats were like it was like the ground was sucking your feet down into it. So you're like when you pull up, you make that sound, you know, when you pull out the mud.
Yeah.
And so with a lot of the receivers, we started getting cramps like in our calf muscles and our quads and stuff, man. And like Bill was hot, like at the end of that Colt game. So we come back to practice that week. He ran the dog crap out of us, man. Like, usually it'd be like little guys, medium guys, big guys, you know, run a sprint, you know, 1, 2, 3.
This is in January, like, too.
Yeah. Right. It would be like he made the little guys run, then the big guys run, and he'd tell the medium guys run, and he's like, wait a minute, I want little guys to come back now. So we were on like every other one we were running, the receivers, just the receivers.
Oh.
Because I'm like, Bill, we played in 5 inches of mud. You know, I mean, our feet are like bricks right now. Is mud sucking us down, and we're running like 30 pass plays, and I'm like, dude, I mean, we're not out of shape. You got to think about the elements and what's going on with the field.
Right.
So, and he wasn't having. Then we got down there. He made us run some extra sprints than what, because the dome was doing. It's going to be hot inside the dome, and you know we didn't do well inside. I'm like, dude. Man, we're going to be all right, man. You know, but Jesus. I I'm like, I hope I got something left for the game by the time these 2 weeks is over, man.
Did you guys win the next one?
They won that one, right? Carolina?
Yeah, we won that one, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's the secret, is to run you.
Running to death.
Yeah, run you to death for 2 weeks.
When we get back, we have to discuss a play yesterday that was just, I don't know what the hell happened. They didn't reference it or replay it again during the broadcast. But there was a moment during yesterday's game where there was some sort of play that I can't figure out if it was intentional or it wasn't, but it was a mess. So, a matter of fact, there's a caller who's calling about it as well. It was, a very strange play that I want to get your opinion on.
All right. We'll have that here at the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Casey dropping back, throwing a long ball right for Gronkowski. Separation, makes the over the shoulder catch. And he's tackled by Parker inside the 10.
Two Hall of Famers just making a play at the end of a game when you need it.
Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Touchdown! Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right?
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown in studio, as he is after every Patriots game, which conveniently are usually at night. He has to do post game.
Well, I think the majority of those are done, right?
Down to two, I think.
Two more?
Yeah, okay. We got one afternoon game coming up, and then back to back night games. Yeah.
And then flex after flex after flex. So,
yeah.
So let's get used to these not much sleeping on Sunday nights.
Well, in fairness, they have to play the division, and they have two games against the Jets, so you know that's not going to get flexed.
That was going to get flexed out. So.
Yeah. Well, there was a play. I was watching the game last night, and there was a play that happened, and I'm sitting there waiting for them to show a replay or for them to explain some sort of explanation as to what happened and why. It was after, I think, the first touchdown by the Patriots, and Gostkowski does this.
It's a low kick bouncing off the turf, fielded at the 35, and Ware is going to weave his way across the 40-yard line. Drives out to the 44. Matthew Slater made the initial hit for the Patriots. So a curious decision there by the Patriots. Well, the bouncer off the turf, giving Kansas City terrific starting field position.
We did that in the Pull-In Weed Eater Independence Bowl in 1990 after we took the lead against Louisiana Tech, and we squid one with, like, no time left. They pick it up and run it all the way back and almost get a field goal. And, I mean, I have no answer for that one. I don't know what that was.
Okay.
Besides, by the way, Maryland really succeeding
under
Zolak.
I'm not sure what bowl game you're talking about either.
Yeah. Zolak should be very proud of leading his team to the Pullman Weed Eater Bowl.
The Pull-On Weed Eater Bowl.
Sponsored everything.
That's a good, you know what that is? That's around 3 o'clock on New Year's Day.
3 o'clock. I'm thinking like 1 o'clock on the 27th of December.
Yeah, no, that's the one on the 18th of December.
Yeah, no, it's like 2 days from Thanksgiving is when that plays.
What the hell happened there? Was that on? Were they trying to do an onside kick? Was that just the rare Steven Gostkowski mess
I'm
up?
I'm with Zolak on that one, man. I have no idea what that was all about. You know, and then later in the game, they came back with the return. The one that got returned down to the 3-yard line or whatever it was.
Yeah,
That one was a weird deal, too, because every other one, I mean, all the rest of them, he was like out of the back of the end zone somewhere. So,
yeah.
So, but that, the one off the ground, man, was just, that was a weird point.
It led to three points, too. It was like they got a field goal out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I didn't get that at all. So, I don't know if it wasn't a mishit. I think it was it just, were they trying to, like, I don't know, get it down inside the 25 or something? I don't know.
Gostkowski took the blame for it after the game, but you could tell that it really wasn't him.
I didn't know he was asked about it.
Yes.
I didn't even know that.
And he goes like, it's on me, but you could kind of read that.
That way he was told to do that? Because Gostkowski is obviously too good to screw up something like that. I've never seen him do that.
No, I don't think he shanked a ball or anything like that. That was.
But it just seemed like, what is the football reason for doing that, Troy?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Just post something out there. Okay. You know, I have no idea, man. That was just a weird play because, I mean, you don't want to give them that kind of field position.
Kick coverage in general has been a problem for this team most of the season.
Yeah, they've had some issues this year with covering the kicks. And, teams have been getting some decent returns against them when they have had a chance to return them. You know, but, you know, probably one of the other reasons why you don't want to kick to a team like Kansas City. So they're down, they were down, I guess, because they were down to their second returner. Thomas was out. You know, he's on the, well, he's on IR now or whatever. But I'm like, anybody they put back there to replace Tyreek Hill must be pretty damn good too. Because I mean,
yeah,
I mean that's just you know, and the guy showed him, he burnt him when they kicked it to him deep later in the game. And so, but back to the first kick, man. Yeah, whatever you want to say it was, you know, that's what, I guess that's what it was.
Can you explain the AFC right now? Because it's very strange. Like, I mean, the Jaguars yesterday got their asses throttled by the Cowboys. And it's like, I don't recognize that team that the Patriots played in week two.
Like, the Cowboys that have struggled all year long to put points on the board. People starting to call Sam Prescott blows. It baffles you, man, that now they're giving up 37 points a game. I do realize that Blake Bortles is now back to Blake Bortles that we knew from 3 or 4 years ago.
You could have made the argument the first couple weeks of the season that he was playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL. And now you go,
I think they all come back to earth. Fitzmagic is now... Fitztragic.
Well, you knew that was going to last. Yeah. He had a beard.
It's an ample track record for that. Multiple teams have seen that.
He's got this. He's got his... DeSean Jackson's coat on looking like Conor McGregor. Living it up, man. And then all of a sudden, like a week later, he's like just demoted to the end of the bench.
But it's like outside of Kansas City, because I think we learned yesterday that Kansas City is, I mean, they're legit. They are. And their defense is going to get better.
Their offense is legit.
Defense, however, you can say the defense is going to get better because they're going to get healthy.
Yeah. I don't think it matters.
It doesn't. They're going to outscore everyone. I mean, we know that. But then you've got the Steelers where...
I wouldn't want to play them.
You see, I have no problem. Right now, I think that they're so dysfunctional and that they're not on the same page. And Ben is getting old right before. I mean, he's been old for a while. But I think the Patriots could... I think they're a better team all around. However, the only team right now that seems to be a worry is the one they just beat last night. Is it fair in saying that with the AFC?
No, I like Pittsburgh, too, coming back. Le'Veon Bell returns at another 2 weeks. I think he said he's coming back.
Apparently, he's not even talked to the Steelers yet. It's stoked up more rumors of a possible trade.
He doesn't need to talk
even
to
if
him.
He doesn't return, they still have Connor, you know. So I think who's a pretty good back that will, you know, again, this team struggles, you know, with those backs like that.
Right.
You know, they got some decent tight ends on that team so that can make some plays happen. So Juju Smith is having a fantastic season, and Antonio Brown, if he could ever stop worrying about other stuff that goes on around him, man, I mean, the guy can flat out play the game.
Yep.
So they got some talent offensively on that football team to make some things happen. And obviously, they're a better defensive team than what you saw from the Kansas City Chiefs. So that game is in Pittsburgh. So not that the Patriots have a lot of trouble going in there playing, but, you know.
I think that's the one game that, you know how they do the dumb – like odds of winning, like they throw it through a computer or something like that. I think that was the one game remaining where the computer picks them to lose.
And this is a new one, or at the beginning of the season they did this?
They did it about a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And by the way, you got Sammy and D and the boys.
Sam Darnold?
Twice.
Sam Darnold.
Sammy D and the boys.
Sure. Have you watched any Jets football?
Just a little bit. A little bit. I haven't watched a ton like all of their games, but yeah, I don't know what to think about the Jets
because they show some
ability to make some plays happen, but then they lost to the Cleveland Browns, you know, early on when Cleveland was really sucking. So, but they that just
secondary was all banged up.
I know it was early in the season too. You can discount some of that stuff, but man. I'm not buying.
I'm just joking. Yeah,
I'm not buying with the Jets right now.
No, I'm not. I know
you are.
By the way, according to Newsday, they have reached out the Jets to the Steelers about Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, good. So they can waste a bunch of cash to not win.
Let's give him his $15 million a year for that position.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Considering that they have two backs right now that are perfectly serviceable. Let's go get another guy.
Yeah, I wonder what he had 200 something yards last week.
We got Crowell. 200 something, and they have Powell too. All right, we will be back with more. more Troy Vincent. You've got some
Troy Vincent. You
Troy
did it.
Damn it,
Brown.
Troy Brown.
Yeah, I'm serve you guys, man. I'm fine. You guys too. See, you're talking about the NFL the way you do.
Don't you guys me talk
yeah,
about him?
Yeah. You're so intelligent that I just assume that you're the head of something. Troy Brown. I don't know. You know what? The NFL sucks so much that I know the names of people involved in lawsuits. Troy Brown. We'll take your calls. We got a little bit of time left with them.
Brady under center. Gives it to Michelle. Runs it through the left side. Plowing his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
That's the way you capitalize off a defensive turnover. Great call defensively. Hightower gets it going. You match them on field goals, and then you make them pay.
Steve, you are on with
Troy Vincent.
Yeah. Troy Brown. Yes.
Vice President of NFL Operations.
That's right. You're on with Troy Brown.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Hey.
Hey, Troy, couple of questions. I'm puzzled by this. First of all, okay, when the Patriots played Miami, they played the best defensive game of the year. They played man-to-man and had the safeties doubling up. When you got a guy like Tyreek Hill with that speed, where are the safeties? I'm watching that game. Those plays, Hunt, too. Those plays are wide open. Where are the safeties, Troy? What are they doing there?
Well, I haven't watched the All-22 yet, but there were a couple of times where the safeties were back where they're supposed to be at. And they just couldn't keep up with Tyreek Hill.
One for touchdowns. There was the 67.
Yeah, and then there was one where McCourty actually came up on the little wheel route, I think, and then Mahomes kind of scrambled out a little bit and threw the 67-yard touchdown to Hunt. You know, and that was just a poorly played play by McCourty, in my opinion. You know, I thought he should have, like, just stayed back and played it from the top down.
Yeah.
So he was more worried about the guy catching the little angle, the little flat route that he was running. And then when he turned it up, he was out of position. So when Hunt was already behind him, and obviously, you know, you couldn't expect Mahomes to miss too many of those during the course of the game. Thought he missed three or four big ones when he had a chance to score points, and that one he didn't miss. So it turned into a big play. And, you know, I just think that sometimes you get caught like that where you don't have that guy back on that side of the field. I mean, that was Hunt. So maybe they were protecting the top of the field on Tyreek Hill's side.
Yeah.
So things that happens sometimes when the guy gets that side of the pocket, a lot of big plays.
Gilmore had a good game, though, for the most part yesterday. Like, he broke up a pass in the end zone. I know that. And there was another big play that he had. But it was the McCourty twins that really just stood out as being not on the same page. I mean,
yeah, well, when you're in the picture and your jersey number's flashing, you know, guys streaking down the field, you get called out on a lot of those. Kind of hard to hide.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when, you know, you see the 30 and the 32 chasing guys down all the time. So you get, yeah.
Tough day in the film room?
Yeah,
is what you're saying?
I was about to ask. Yeah. So how's the film room go for them?
Yeah, it depends. And then, you know, they could have an excuse for some of that stuff, depending on the coverage and how they got caught and all that stuff. But, you know, there was a couple there. I mean, that one that Jason had against Hunt, yeah, that was all him.
Yeah.
You know, so wasn't expecting too much help over the top of him.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
When you're doing some stuff with Kelce already, you're doing some stuff with Tyreek Hill, you know, somebody's got to take the one-on-one battle.
Did you hear Tom Brady? I forget what the exact phrase was, but he was being asked about a couple of weeks ago and how it's different than now, and he said that, I didn't have as many, what was it? It was like ingredients in the kitchen or something like that. He's basically crapping on everyone who's not named Julian Edelman, who's in his receiving core.
No doubt, man. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, he's stating the truth. So yeah. he didn't have all the ingredients he needed to make the cake. You know?
But is this new? Because this is kind of new for him, right? He hasn't really called out his own players, has he?
Yeah. Not that I know of, not like that.
You know,
I think somebody says there were some things back in 06 that he did like that, kind of indirectly saying things, you know, about Deion and David Givens not being on the team in 06. So, but that's kind of new territory when, you know, you're saying those kind of things, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, they just didn't have, I mean, obviously, look at the team now. You think that team from week two could have done what they did last night?
Oh, no way. No way.
So you got Edelman back. You know, that helps Gronk out. Then you signed Gordon, you know, which was kind of a stretch. You know, a guy who hadn't played in, you know, 5 years. That's the kind of risk you got to take when your offense was performing the way they were performing the first couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, and also Sony Michel. I mean, it's funny how boy, I didn't realize yesterday's game was going to be as run heavy as it was. You just immediately think shootout when you think of these two teams going against each other.
Yeah.
And then Sony Michel, as Fred was saying, I mean, it was you know,
workmanlike.
Very workmanlike. Yeah. And which takes, of course, the stress off of James White, because my God, you want to talk about a guy who's getting mileage put on him in those first several weeks.
No doubt.
That dude took a beating.
No doubt. But yeah, you look at, you saw that Kansas City defense play. You could just put your hand in the hat and just pull out whatever play you wanted to run, and it was going to work. So against them,
right?
But I think that was by design, though, just to kind of help, you know, with not limiting the amount of time that Kansas City had the ball, and they did. I think Patriots had the ball like over 36 minutes,
Wow. And
then Kansas City only had it for like 23 something, under 24 minutes. So they still put up 40 points. So, but
Mahomes,
it just shows
awesome,
you, it's just how quick they can strike on you. But
don't know how much it was Mahomes or how much it is having just lightning all around you. All right, Troy Brown.
Yeah,
you can see him on NBC Sports Boston. You can also hear him in the 7 o'clock hour the day following every Patriots game. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Yeah, hopefully they flex those games to one.
As always,
we keep forgetting about it. They can't flex those to 1 o'clock.
Well, yeah.
It always happens with the Patriots.
What do they have
right?
on those night games?
Oh, I got to take a look.
Yeah.
If only they lost.
Buffalo. Buffalo's a Monday night game, so that's not getting flexed.
That's not getting flexed.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen.
That's where it's at right there.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
See you Tuesday morning.
All right. Yes. We will... say goodbye to.
Oh, the other ones. You're saying the other ones? The is Packers game? Yeah, they're not flexing that.
No,
they're not flexing Patriots. Well, Packers. Back to one.
Yeah.
No way. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Oh, I don't.
Even if the Packers keep tanking, you know.
Even if they lose every game until that one, they're not. Aaron Rodgers. You know what? You're right. You won with the sound effects. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Mr. Brown, thanks so much for your time. No commercials here, just the headlines. Yeah.